I've already had a chat with him off air, and I've already called him a mongrel because he made me stay up until 10:30 last night reading a fabulous book that he's got out, When There Are Too Many Lawyers, There Is No Justice. And, of course, we got this man on the line, Alan Manley. Good morning to you, Alan. How are you?
I'm well, Michael. Thank you.
Mate, this is a great read, I've got to say. And unfortunately, don't start it late in the evening because you won't want to put the book down. And I kept telling myself, no, this can't be a true story. Not over $115. No, 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 no. And I kept flicking back saying, does it say it's a true story? I don't know. And I'm thinking, this is absolutely rubbish. What this gentleman put you through, it's got to be turned into a mini-series, surely.
Well, one would hope, but it was a mini-series for 10 years of my life, so I guess that's a bit longer than a mini-series. But it is true, I can verify that, and it's been verified by others. It took a lot to write a book that is true about the legal system and stay out of the legal system. That became my next mission, and to date I've succeeded.
Now, just paint us a picture.
Yep.
For the listeners who are thinking, what on earth is Michael talking about this morning? It all started with a bill for $115, didn't it?
Well, probably like a lot of your listeners, Michael, I volunteered to be a not-for-profit director. You know, what can go wrong? It's corporate fail, limited by liability. If everything went wrong, no more than $500, it would never go wrong. Why would anyone sue you? Because you've got no assets. It's a local knitting club or something, and we've all been in them. And then we met a person who was more professional at suing people than we were. And the trigger of that was a bill for $115, a little invoice. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? And so what did go wrong was there was a bit of anger and such, and I'm sure many of your listeners have been there. So the wimp of the group, we'll call him Alan.
Yes.
He said, look, just pay it and just move on. It's just not worth the heartache, guys. So admit we've, you know, who knows what we've done, right or wrong. It's trivia. So we paid the $115 check, and it was torn up in our face and said, this will go further. And we thought, well, this is odd. is odd. And it did. And of course, the gentleman concerned had intent to sue a number of people. And as it says in the book, he proceeded to sue Kerry Packer. So he wasn't a man to shirk away from a nice opportunity.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line. This fella really did cripple you mentally and physically. And, of course, you came through the other end and you're still smiling. I mean, just an amazing story. I mean, does it mean that our system is being bastardized?
I think it is. I know I say there, and people sometimes say, in fact, I was asked by a gentleman last night, why are you bashing up lawyers? So I'm not bashing up lawyers, I'm bashing up courts. And I'm saying that courts won't pass down decisions. They've been so softened and up and so politically correct that when it's bleeding obvious that the person is guilty, the judge then takes on the role of the defence lawyer and says, well, maybe we could just have another look at this. Well, maybe he's guilty. Oh, but maybe when then the guy jumps up and says, I need an adjournment, more evidence.
Yeah, how do they get away with that time and time again? Because, you know, I get this sneaky feeling throughout the book. You're saying lawyers are working with lawyers just to drag it on.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think that's the joke on the street, that they'll defend you until you run out of money. And that they would say, of course, why shouldn't they be paid? But I think it's a culture that's got into the court system, that the courts don't make tough decisions. When it really gets hard and fast to make a decision, the courts have been softened up so politically correct they won't. And then, of course, there's always the appeal on the appeal on the appeal. And the lawyers, it's a win-win-win situation for the lawyers, and I think they get drawn into it.
Yeah, and of course, I almost fell off my rocking chair reading this last night. I've got to say this in the most politically correct wordage I can come up with. How arsy were you finding that piece of paper?
Well,
to say that the guy that you've been that's been suing you was bankrupt, and they'd be giving him a free ride because he hasn't been paying his fees.
Look, it was arsy. It was as one person said, I should have been arrested because I actually took the paper from the court. Anyway, the writing of the book glossed over a bit of you can guess there was a screaming lunatic in their hands when they found it. this you say it was arsy. I say it was arsy too. I confirm that, but it wasn't to a calm sophisticate you're talking to now. It was an emotional wreck about to lean across the desk and strangle someone. This was heavy duty going. They had been funding him on the guise, the federal court does this, that you rock up and say, I don't have any money, but I wish to sue someone. Well, look, no worries. We'll suspend the fees.
Yeah.
And you just sign here that, and we won't check, of course, because that would be intrusive of your prison.
Yeah, the Privacy Act, I mean, what a killer that is. Yeah. And, you know, $44,000 worth of goodwill they gave him at no charge.
Of course. Well, one of the things you can be cynical and say, it is a bit of pump priming, isn't it? Just in case they didn't have enough customers. They got a little fund there to keep things ticking along.
And, mate, you know, your last line, you know, Laurie stood up, defiant to the end. Obviously, I'm going to appeal your decision, Judge. The judge threw, well, I won't say it, you know, by the book. It really is, you know, and you'll read it right to the end and you'll put it down. You'll go, really? This started over a $115 bill and took, was it closer to 11 years?
Just on 11 years.
In 11 years.
My wife reminds me, she knows the years, months and dates. And days, how long it took. That was the effect.
So what did this cost you?
Oh.
I mean, forget the physical and the mental anguish.
Well, a couple of properties, that sort of thing. It stripped us of assets. We were within 60 days. We had that meeting that I'm sure some of your listeners have dreaded, and some tough characters would have gone through it, where you sit down with your family and say, we're going to lose the house.
Yeah.
So you get through that by luck, really, I guess. But that was how far. We came within 60 days, and then, as it says in the book, I managed to pull off a business deal, and that then took off as a business. So
yep.
While all this was happening, while I was in court anything up to 3 days a week, I was also trying to feed the family, I guess, just a pretty humble sort of task.
But you know, he got nothing in the end, except he just destroyed your mental health there for a while.
Yes.
Was it a game for him?
A number of people have read the book, as you can guess, because it's reasonably popular now.
Mm.
A lot of people think he was sick, plain mentally sick, and didn't know when to stop. It's a bit like the $115 check that many of your listeners would just say, just write the check and move on.
Right.
He didn't seem to know how to take the check.
Yeah, well, you offered him a check and he tore it up. He just wanted to go back to court. He was one sick puppy.
Yeah, and of course the system wouldn't identify him as such, and to get a person to be a vexatious litigant is nigh impossible. There's still, even with new laws in New South Wales, there's less than 20 people in Australia, population of 22 million. There's less than 20 people that are actually vexatious litigants. It's almost impossible to get them out. And of course, you can't help but be a little cynical towards the end of the 11th year that you guys are making a living out of this and it's destroying my life.
Alan Manley I'm talking to, second edition, When There Are Too Many Lawyers, There Is No Justice. At the end of the day, what happened to Laurie, really? Because in the book, you're giving me a scenario, I'm going, surely not. I mean, is he still out there?
The rumour has it he left the country.
He left the country.
He'd run out of, been banned by the courts in New South Wales of starting litigation again, even though they didn't make him a vexatious litigant. They said he couldn't file. He
angered
a very old, mature judge who was a judge. My complaint is some of the judges don't make judgments, they just pander. This judge was a man's man. He said, we've all had enough of this. Stop. And then he was a bankrupt. He'd been convicted of fraud. He'd been convicted of assault.
Mm.
And he appeared to have left the country is the best rumour I have.
Oh, he's taken a new name and just operating underneath a new name. Who knows? Let's hope he never walks into my life.
Well,
I'm sure if he walks into your life, you know, you will hire somebody to get rid of him.
That's one of those chapters in the book. That was
It must have been so close. It must have been so tempting.
That was less than a glamorous moment, Michael, yes.
Mate, I love this. When there are too many policemen, there is no liberty. When there are too many soldiers, there is no peace. When there are too many lawyers, there is no justice. You've been through hell and back. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're smiling.
Well, yes.
So, you know, the system did work right at the very end.
At the very end, it was an exhausted couple of people. I think I was absolutely drained. It took me, sometimes the question is asked, why did I write the book? It was for closure.
Yep.
The first edition, the title was wrong, the cover was wrong, and all that sort of thing, as you do. And the second edition, people said, you know, it's the first one was a small print, but it sold out. And so we did it again, but this time we did it with clearer mind, to be frank. And the cover has got the distinctive justice of the scales of justice imbalanced, with a glaring title at the top in black and white when there were too many lawyers. And that quote was, of course, the inspiration.
Mate, look, I tell you what, it's a good read, and it's available right now. Are you available online as well?
Yes, it's in Amazon.
Amazon, eh?
Amazon, I got it. I think it's about, well, who knows, $8 or $9 or something.
Yeah, it's a good read.
And the hard copy is available at all the major books. It's quite a large distributor, and everyone gets it. And I noticed the distributor the other day was delivering it all over the place within 2 or 3 days. So he must be getting excited too.
Fantastic. When there are too many lawyers, pick it up. It's a rollicking read. There is no justice. Alan Manley, let's hope you have a relaxed life now. And you don't have any. You know, the scary thing is, these people are amongst us, and they don't care what they do. If they can get under the wire and cause havoc, they will, because nothing happens to them.
Well, no. Some people who have read the book say that he overplayed his cards, and maybe his journey is a bit like a lot of people. He got away with a lot of things. It says in the book that he had terrorised people and got settlements unjustly.
Mm.
And then he ran into, started to play in a bigger and bigger league, and also ran into, as the book describes me nicely there, Michael, an Irishman, who would nicely say that there is no end to this battle, but I was pretty exhausted at the end, I can assure you, just like I'm sure some of your listeners have had experiences in the courts and they've been less than happy.
Now, look, this is going to make a great A movie or B, a TV series. It's just going to be brilliant. Mate, look after yourself, and I hope you have a happy life, Alan Manley, and, of course, the book, When There Are Too Many Lawyers. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning.